We want to spend some time in God's Word, and if you want to use the Pew Bible, you might want to turn to page 1543, or Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20 in your own Bible, or scroll it up on your phone, whichever works easiest for you. And this, of course, is the passage that is called the Great Commission. And so let's just take a moment and stand as we honor God's Word and read through these verses. These are the last three verses in the Gospel of Matthew, and they say, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, as with any portion of Scripture, these are precious words to us. And as we spend some moments now in your Word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts, that you would just draw us close to yourself and close us in for these moments with you, that we might experience that fresh touch from on high and know the depth of the love of God for us in these days. So, Father, refresh our hearts in these moments. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And usually when we read the Great Commission, everybody thinks, it's going to be a message on missions. But I want to talk this morning instead about the marks of a disciple. Jesus didn't tell us to go and make decisions. He told us to go and make disciples. And you know, sometimes people are not sure how do I become a disciple of Jesus? If I grow up in the church, does that make me a disciple? If I go through baptism, does that make me a disciple? And the simple truth is that every single person who knows the touch of God to help them to understand that God's Word tells us quite differently than this world. This world always tries to tell us, if you're a good person, you'll probably make it into heaven. But God's Word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that puts us all in the category of being driven by sin, of having sin on the inside. And to become a disciple of Jesus is to understand that I need to be changed on the inside. Not just to do things on the outside, but to know this powerful change on the inside that is radical and that is different than what this world thinks for the entrance into heaven. In order to know that change, we must come and acknowledge to Christ, "Yes, Lord, I understand. I see what is in me. I see those evil thoughts. I see those actions that are not right. I see that I do not and cannot reach your standard in my own strength and way. Therefore, I come and ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Cleanse it and fill me with yourself so that I would be changed from the inside out and so that I would follow you." And so I thought this morning, when you think about making disciples, what are the marks that Jesus gives us, that the Word of God gives us, that describe how does a disciple function? What are the marks that we see in one who is following Christ? So let's just take a few moments and walk through some deep truth this morning. The Great Commission here is wonderful, is it not? And it gives us that platform to start to think about making disciples. So let me give you seven or eight thoughts in sequence this morning, and you can ponder. Lord, discipleship is much more than just decision. And you know, oftentimes we pray for people, and when they make that decision, we say, whew, boy, I can stop praying for them now, thank God. But that's the time when they need our prayers even more, that they would not just make a decision and then the world would come along and interfere and mess with that, and they would drift away. But a disciple, that is a different criteria. So just journey with me a little bit today. What are the marks of a disciple according to the Scriptures? And first of all, let's think about John chapter 8, 31 and 32. And I'll give you the verses on each of these little segments as we go. John chapter 8, 31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So here we see that a mark of a disciple is that a disciple continues in the Word of God. And you know, there are all kinds of ideas and programs and stuff that we're encouraged to take, and much, if not all of it, is useful. But the essence of a disciple is that a disciple continues in the Word of God. This is what the Savior said. And as we think about that, just as we hold to the teaching of Scripture, how would we know what it is unless we dig in and we really continue in His Word? It is His Word that convicts us of sin and helps us to know why we need Christ. It is His Word that calls us to go on and to discover, oh, so much more of the love of God and of the equipping work of the Holy Spirit in life and in heart. In a recent ministry trip to Ontario where I had 10 days of preaching, one of the pastors that I met, we were talking about how did we come to know Christ, and he said, oh, I resisted that. I grew up in the church, and I resisted that for as long as I could. But my wife got saved, and she was so radically different, and she dragged me out to church every Sunday. And I began to understand how I needed Christ. So he said, one evening, sitting with the Bible, I asked Christ to save me. And he did, and I knew that he had. And lo and behold, John, he said, I read through the Scriptures in a week. Ooh, that's a big book. I said, how did that happen? He said, every time that I had a few moments, I got a hold of my Bible, well, my wife's Bible at that point, and I just read and read and soaked it in. And I thought, oh, Lord, would you increase this tribe 1 million or 35 million fold in our nation? Disciples continue in the Word of God, abiding, Jesus said, spending time studying His Word. Why do I say this? I say it because in just a few weeks, we will launch into all kinds of things as a church family. And oh, how we need to grow in the things of the Word of God. And there will always be things to call us to interrupt that time, but it's one of those marks of a disciple that Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And so I would simply ask you this morning, is there a passion in your heart for the Word of God. And if there's not, I admonish you and encourage you, seek the Lord this morning for that passion that says, oh, I want to get in here and I want to grow deep in it. You see, Scripture tells us that there will be every wind of doctrine to try to push us around and convince us of these things and that things. And if we are not anchored and foundational in the Scriptures, those winds will move us sideways when we ought to be stable and steady in what His Word teaches. Dennis Nehan, who's a professor of New Testament theology at Tyndale College, a friend of mine, told me of a janitor that the college had hired, a young Muslim man, who came and asked Dennis, can I get a Bible? And he said, okay. He gave him a Bible, and he asked him a few days later, how are you getting on with it? Do you have questions about that? And the young man said to him, this book talks to me. And there it is. This book talks to me. That young man became a Christian and followed the Lord to this day. Becoming well acquainted with Jesus is becoming well acquainted with His Word. Secondly, we want to think about Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. A disciple has a desire to pray. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to Straight Street and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And you see, the mark that Saul of Tarsus, who had been persecuting the church, had been truly converted and that his life was changed from the inside out was the very fact that he was praying. He didn't need to have courses in it. He just knew that to be in touch with the Lord was what he was longing for. Just converted, and yet his desire is to pray. I don't know how to put this in nice terms, so I'm just going to say it. Dear friends, if the church ever came to the place of having a desire and a passion for prayer, it would revolutionize this nation, this city, and this province. Amen? A disciple has that mark, that desire to pray. And the church today has a great need to depend less on what we think we can do and to get on our knees and faces before God and appeal to Him for an outpouring of His Spirit and what He can do. A little Pentecostal amen belongs in there, but if I'm not going to get it, I'm going on anyway. I just finished reading a little 36-page booklet called The Praying Plumber of Lisburn. Thomas Hare was his name. My wife loaned it to me. She's from Lisburn, so it has special attention for her. He was a man that nobody knew, but when Leonard Ravenhill went and held revival meetings and preached God's truth, Thomas Hare was always with him. He was the intercessor that was there, that would hold those meetings before the throne of God until the Spirit of God would come. Oh, how we need that, that the Spirit of God would come and melt our hearts and end our foolishness and draw us into that sense of walking with Him. Thirdly, going to John 13 in verses 34 and 35, a disciple shows the love of God. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Wow. I think over the years of all the stories I've heard, Pastor, you should talk to him. Pastor, you should talk to her. Pastor, that person has a problem. Pastor, you ought to go and straighten this out. You should do this, you should do that. But the marks of a disciple are the marks of love. Jesus, how did he love us? With a sacrificial love. Not of self, but of God. That's a powerful witness that all will know. Now, sometimes love has to be tough and things have to be said, that correction has to be brought. I would not be a loving parent if I didn't say to my children, I don't think that you should play with that fire and put it in your pocket. You would think I didn't care if I allowed that kind of thing to happen. And you see, a disciple shows the love of God. In the 14 years of working with the Billy Graham team, the consistent statement that I heard in every city was simply this. Look at how they love each other. Look at how they love each other. My first day on the job, Cliff Barrows came over and said, I see a new face. I just thought I'd come and get to know you. And I'd like to pray for you that God would give you a real ministry. And I stood there thinking, this guy's praying for me? Oh, how they love each other. Yeah. It's the love of God that breaks down those barriers. It's the love of God that allows us to say to one another, oh, I want to bless you. I want you to have a ministry far greater than I could ever have. It's the love of God that lifts and leads and enables. It's the love of God that is so attractive, my friends. When people experience it, they long for more of it. A disciple shows the love of God. It's not about protecting ourselves. It's not about getting control. It's about being surrendered and filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God. The marks of a disciple. Oh, number four, go to John 15 and verse 8. A disciple is fruitful in walking with Christ. Verse 8 of John 15 says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Bearing much fruit. You see, when we are fruitful, we're bringing glory to the Lord. And when we are asking, Lord, help me to influence someone to come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are bringing the glory to God the Father, who draws people to God the Son, that they might be saved. Bearing fruit shows His work in us because we no longer are thinking about ourselves, but we're longing that the fruit of heaven's kingdom would be displayed in our lives. In the will of God, I hope to go to Ivory Coast in November and do a week of meetings there in Abidjan. The last time I was there, the pastor told me, I mortgaged my house so that we could have these meetings. And he wasn't telling me that to make me feel bad. He was just saying, I am so desiring that the kingdom of God would grow and that fruit would come, that all that I have is in the Master's hand. Now, what happened in my heart is when I went to the little room where I slept, I sat down and said, God, I need a fruitful heart like you've given to this brother. Incidentally, I want to say thanks. Many of you prayed, and when I was down east, I went to their embassy, and in 2 hours, I got the visa to go. Pray for November 11 to 18 that we could see a fruitful harvest. A disciple is fruitful. Bearing fruit shows us to be his disciples. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of fruit? Well, that could be 6, 8, 10, 15, 52 messages. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit of God at work in our lives. The fruit of soul winning. The fruit of mentoring and discipling others. The fruit of being just careful and walking in His righteousness and His truth. Number five, a disciple serves Christ. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, we read these words, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Only one can receive full devotion. And if you're like me, at least from time to time, you may try having one foot here and another foot over here. It doesn't work. It just leaves us feeling divided, an internal struggle going on. Only one can receive full devotion. Who we serve shows our condition. Disciple is single-minded in serving Christ. Now, in a trip to South Africa, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I remember watching 1,000 students assembling at a high school one morning, and the principal was walking with me as we walked into the gymnasium, and the classes were coming in uniform, beautifully lined, and so on. And I said to that principal, "Are you allowed to do this?" He said, "No." He said, "You got 20 minutes to preach the gospel. Preach your heart out." And I said, "You're not allowed to do this." He said, "No. But I want these young people to get more than an education when they're in this school. And there is something that supersedes what I'm allowed to do. So they know, and I'll remind them again today, that if they would make a decision for Christ, I will personally buy them and give them a leather-bound, good, solid Bible that they can use for the rest of their days as they walk with Him." Wow. Oh, you see, here is one who had the courage to say, "I want to serve the Lord with everything. And if it costs me, it costs me." Incidentally, he's still the principal in that school. Because as we walk with God, we can not only expect great things, but we can receive great things from Him. Number six, Luke 14, 26, the marks of a disciple. A disciple has no other love but for Christ or before Christ. Now, this verse, Luke 14:26, simply says this: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But you see, here is Christ teaching that there can be no other love before him. I want to just borrow a lady that I know for a minute. Sweetheart, would you come up into the light here so everybody can see you on camera? Come on. You did say love, honor, and obey, didn't you? Now, we need to give these folk an honest answer, okay?
Okay, we'll try.
Right. Yeah. Roberta, am I the first love of your life?
No.
I'm not?
No.
I have to confess to you, you're not the first love of my life either.
That's good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Who's the first love of your life?
It's the Lord.
It's the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And he's the first love of my life too. Love
I'm
you.
So glad.
You see, we didn't originate that. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon got married, he was going to church to preach, and his wife was in the carriage, and several blocks from the church they had to stop because people were looking to get into the church, and Spurgeon knew he had to go and sort it out. So he left her in the carriage and went and took the service and spoke to people about their need of Christ and wondered afterwards, where did my wife go? And when he sat down and said to her, sweetheart, you are the second love of my life. I love Christ, and I long to serve him. But no one will ever move you from being the love of my life. A disciple has no love before Christ. That relationship with Jesus is the most important, the most life-giving, the most beautiful. A disciple has no other love before Christ. Number 7, Luke 14:27, the next verse. Disciple follows Christ, not the world. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Perseverance is the mark of a disciple. You look at the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, you see that some spring up and vanish. And some are choked out with thorns and the troubles of the world and so on. But that seed that falls in good ground, that perseveres and brings forth a harvest, some 30, some 50, and some 100-fold. You see, the cross is involved. A disciple knows about the cross and can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it is not I. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My dear friends, as you think about these marks of a disciple, oh, there are all kinds of things that would get in the way. Here's a question. If I followed Christ all the way, what would I have to give up? What would it take? C.T. Studd was one of what was called the Cambridge Seven. Moody went and preached in Cambridge, and 7 young men came to Christ. Studd came from a very rich family, and the Lord told him, give it up. So he gave away all his money except for £200, and the Lord told him, give it up. And he said, even this, even that. What will I have when I go on the mission field? C.T. Studd asked. And the Lord said, you'll have me. It reminds me of 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9. A king rented an army. And he said to God's prophet, when the prophet told him, don't use that. It's not godly. It's not of God. He said, well, what about the money I paid for them? And the prophet gave these words, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Have you, dear Christian brother or sister, not discovered that the Lord is able to do so much more than the things of this world? There's an 8th slide there that says a disciple's not in love with worldly things. But I'll just stop right here. I want to just close the message this morning by saying disciples have a commission. That's where we started, with the Great Commission. A commission burning in hearts to make disciples of all nations. They have an authority from the Word of God. Jesus said all authority is given unto him in heaven and on earth. And they have the gospel on their lips and in their hearts that Christ would be Lord of every part of life. And if you, like me, measure against Scripture and say, as I do, oh God, I fall so much short. Yet, Lord, I love you, and I want to love you more. Maybe this morning is a great time just to draw quietly to the throne of God's grace. And to say, Lord, you've been speaking to me this morning, to my heart. I spoke to a woman one day after a renewal of vows ceremony. And she said, Pastor, I used to be in church every Sunday, but I don't go anymore. And my reply was, today's a great day to come home. I'll never forget the tears running down her face and falling onto the carpet there in the church sanctuary. And she said, Lord, you're so much more than anything that the world can offer. Friends, in the weeks and months ahead, let's be disciples who honor his word, who have a passion for prayer, who long to be fruitful for his kingdom. We're not concerned about who gets the praise or the glory. Who are not in love with worldly things and who make Jesus the first love of all. Heavenly Father, as we come toward the conclusion of this service, would you by your Holy Spirit just draw us together to the place of prayer here at the altar. And you know I don't do this every week and I don't do it lightly. But would you just stand with me? And as we sing this song, as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart and to mine today, but the marks of a disciple, won't you take a few moments and we'll just gather here at the front at the altar. And after we sing, we'll pray and ask the Lord to enable us to be disciples who display all of these marks to his honor and glory.